The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Whatever house he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the most damaging things that you can say to somebody, or that you can have somebody say to you, goes something like this: "Where were you? Why weren't you there? Why didn't you do anything?" Statements like that often come out fast and furious and hot. They come out of a place of pain and disappointment. They come out of a sense of trust being broken. Or they just come out of a circumstance that seems out of control, and you're looking for someone to take control. Why weren't you there? Why didn't you do something? The older we get, the more likely it is in our life that we've either said that to someone or had someone say that to us. But if we're also honest in our life of faith, there has probably been or will probably be some point in our life when we will ask God, "Where were you? Why weren't you there? Why didn't you do something?" And brothers and sisters, that can be a good prayer, but is it one that we just whip out at God in a moment of anger or hurt? Or is it one where we actually invite him to give us an answer? That maybe you were there and I didn't see it. Maybe you were doing something and I did not perceive it. Maybe you offered me something I wasn't ready to receive. Can you still give it? Brothers and sisters, God gave his answer. And he gave his answer through the Eucharist, through his body, blood, soul, and divinity, which we celebrate today because God, who made you and knows how he made you, knows how to save you, and knows how to communicate himself to you, he is always there, spiritually sustaining you. But that's not enough for our God. Our God, who made you a body and a soul together, does not just come to you spiritually, but came to us physically 2,000 years ago when he took on our flesh to live our life, walk our walk, talk our talk, and die our death so that we might no longer die. But Jesus was not content just to interact with people who happened to live 2,000 years ago in a backwater of the Roman Empire. He comes to us today in his body and blood, physically present among us, so that when you and when I cry out, "Where are you? Why don't you do something?" he has an answer. I'm reminded as a kid, it would not happen infrequently. We would be at Kmart or Walmart, and I would be lost. And what happens? If you ever feel lost, put yourself in a place to be found. So invariably, my brother and I end up at the customer service desk, and they page our parents, "Teresa Boone, your children are looking for you. Find them at the customer service desk." When you're lost, you put yourself in a place to be found. Brothers and sisters, this is the place to be found because he is here, because he came for you. He's present in our tabernacle. God's heart is so moved towards you specifically that from the foundation of all creation, God knew he was going to make you. And he knew when you were going to call out for him. He knew when you would need him. And he provided a solution for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, he's appeared hidden in the smallness of a host. He's appeared hidden in what looks like bread and wine. He has allowed himself to dwell in tabernacles of churches that have been ransacked, that have been pillaged. He's allowed himself to be mistreated. He's allowed himself to be irreverenced. He's allowed himself to be ignored and to sit in churches neglected for you. He's endured that for 2,000 years and will until the end of time, so that when you cried out, when you felt lost, he would be there for you. He's waited for you for 2,000 years because God's heart is so moved towards you that when you feel lost, he's given you a place to be found. So brothers and sisters, when we struggle, when we face difficulties, when we have questions or doubts, pray yes. Pray wherever you are. But do you come here to be found, to be in the presence of the one who will give you an answer? If you have joys in your life, if you get a promotion, if you get a raise, I love to celebrate with a good glass of bourbon. But do you come to give thanks to the God who made you and gave you talents that you've cooperated in developing and to thank him for that? And giving you a new chance to provide for yourself and your family. If you are a student and you're finishing a thesis, a capstone, an academic year, or your school career, have you ever brought your laptop into the church or printed out your capstone paper and read it to God, or at least offered it to him? You've given me a mind to know. You've given me this time to study. And I think that this paper is the best that I can do, and I'm proud of it. And it did not come easy. And I want to offer it to you for your glory. At the start of a sports season, do we come and offer the season to God? At the end of a season or an athletic career, do we come to give thanks to God? Brothers and sisters, Jesus also asked the question when he heals the lepers. How many were healed? And only this one came back to give thanks? God also asked the question of you, but in a loving and concerned way. Where are you? Brothers and sisters, God's heart is moved towards you, and he's taken great risk in allowing himself the vulnerability of the Eucharist so that when you need him, he would be there. And he has suffered a lot in the Eucharist for your sake. Do we put ourselves in a place to be found? Second thing I'd offer you, there's a tradition on Corpus Christi where the priest will give instructions on how to receive communion because we all need a refresher. In the seminary, it's one of those things where you get to priest practicum and you have to start to say mass, fake mass, so that when you're ordained a priest, you'll be ready. And it seems easy. In seminary, you go to mass every day. You spend your life going to mass. It seems like you should know what you're doing. But it's amazing when you start to be the priest, you have no idea what you're doing. And you find that you've picked up a lot of bad habits because you've just watched other priests do things and they might not do it right. In 5 years, Sam's going to be in priest practicum mimicking the bad things he learned at St. Louis de Montfort by watching Father Hahn. So we all need refreshers. Even priests need reminded. Am I saying the Mass as God wants me to, as the church tells me to? Because we communicate ourselves through our bodies. It's the way you know things. It's the way you express love. It's the way you experience pain. It's the way you experience joy is through your body. You communicate yourself through your body. Think that you have two children who are arguing and fighting, and maybe one hit the other and needs to apologize. Everyone can tell it's not very sincere if they avert their eyes, mumble, I'm sorry, and still have their arms crossed. They're not communicating themselves through their bodies in a way that's truthful. We also know this if you're a parent and your child is trying to share their joys with you, and you're on your phone, but you're also listening and very interested. We tell the truth or we lie by our bodies. So are we expressing through our bodies our love for God in the way that we should? The God who has come for us, the God whose heart was moved towards you, the God who seeks you every single day. So brothers and sisters, do we fast for 1 hour before Mass to prepare our bodies to express, in 1 hour is not a lot, but to express, I hunger for God. I am incomplete. I need something. I'm hungry for God. And this food is not like other food. And a 1 hour fast is not a lot. If we come to church, and especially if you receive communion in the hand, have you washed your hands? And brothers and sisters, some people come right from work and they have blue-collar jobs, and sometimes they're just grateful and we're just grateful they're here. But if you have time, do you wash your hands if you're going to receive communion in the hand? And do we brush our teeth? Do we use mouthwash? Do we chew some gum and spit it out before we get in the church so that our mouth is clean to receive Jesus's body and blood? Do we prepare ourselves that way? And then when we come forward in the communion procession, we're called to give an act of reverence, to show with my body, I believe this is Jesus, who did not have to come for me, but in love did. And I want to honor him. Spouses honor each other with their bodies. Children hug their parents. We express love through our bodies. So when you come up to receive the body, but also the blood, you are called to make an act of reverence. And if you are standing to receive communion, that act of reverence is most usually a bow. And you don't have to go all the way down, but it's not a quick head bow. It's a bow of the head and the shoulders. It's a controlled movement. It's not jerky. It's not rushed. It's not something you're just trying to get done. It's an act of love. I recognize who you are. Thank you for coming for me. So we make an act of reverence, a bow of the head and shoulders. Some people make a genuflection on one knee, but you make an act of reverence to the body and the blood. And the priest or the minister will tell you, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, and then you say amen. Do not cut the priest or the minister off, and do not say silent. Because by your amen, you say, yes, this is who you just said this is, I agree. And I stake my life on it. Amen. This is his body. Amen. This is his blood. We're not trying to rush through these things. You can wait for the priest or the minister to finish saying the statement that you're affirming to. But I know a lot of you are excited and can't control yourselves. But wait for the priest or the minister to finish. If you receive communion in the hand, the appropriate way to receive communion in the hand is one hand flat on top of the other, your fingers extended as fully as you can, and that provides a very stable and open landing pad for the priest or the minister to put the host on. It ensures it's not going to fall, and you can trust that the priest or the minister will lay it flat in your hand, so you don't need to try to hold my hand, you don't need to grasp my hand, you don't have to risk crushing the Eucharist. The priest or minister will get it in your hand. And we receive the Eucharist. We do not take it. So it's not something we grab at. It's not something we give ourselves. It's something we receive. One hand flat on top of the other, and you wait for the minister to remove their fingers before you start to make a movement. And then you take the other hand. You pick up the Eucharist, and you put it in your mouth in a controlled motion. So one hand on top of the other, after you've made your act of reverence and said amen. If you receive communion standing and in the hand, you receive the Eucharist directly in front of the minister where you're at, or you take one step to the side and plant your feet and then receive the Eucharist. It's not something we're trying to rush through. You don't have to be in a rush to get back to your pew. Brothers and sisters, it's a moment of intimacy. Do we treat it as such? It's not a to-go meal. It's the reception of the one who loves you most deeply. So I just offer that to you as a moment of intimacy and reverence. So you receive right in front of the minister or one step to the side. But I'll offer this to you as well, because our servers hold patents, and they see a lot too. And last night I asked one of our eighth grade boys, what do you see when people receive communion? And you know what he said? He said, I have seen people receive communion in the hand, walk away, and then put Jesus in their pocket. Brothers and sisters, we get people who come to Mass who, through no fault of their own, do not know what to do, and they walk away with the Eucharist. But we also live in an age where there are people who do not like the faith and do come into churches to take the Eucharist to go desecrate later. That is a reality. And it's the job of the priest, the extraordinary minister, the deacon, or the servers, if they see someone walk away with the host, to follow them, to ask if they are Catholic, to ask if they received, and to receive the host if they will not or are not. And it is incredibly awkward for everybody involved and incredibly unnecessary. Brothers and sisters, we do find hosts in pews on the ground. We do find hosts in hymnals. People do come to churches to steal the host. If you receive communion in the hand, your job is also to protect the Eucharist. And you help us do that by receiving directly in front of the minister or one step to the side. If you receive communion kneeling, your kneeling itself is your act of reverence. You do not have to bow. If you're kneeling to receive communion, the priest will wait for you to get down and get up, so you do not have to rush and risk tripping over yourself. If you receive communion on the tongue, open your mouth wide enough that the priest or the minister has a spot to put the Eucharist. If it's your tongue and your teeth right against each other, it's going to be on the tip of your tongue and risk falling out. The other thing about receiving communion on the tongue is with the host that we have, it only takes a little bit of moisture for the host to cling to your tongue. So you do not have to move towards the priest. You do not have to risk biting my fingers. You don't have to risk licking me either. If you open your mouth enough and stick your tongue out enough and a little bit of moisture, the host will stick on your tongue and Father will get out of there. So we receive reverently on the tongue that way. The other thing I'd offer you is if you are someone who is tall, Father Jordan is average height. Not short, but average. And so if you do receive communion on the tongue and you are substantially taller than Father Jordan's average height, some people tilt their head back because they want to get their tongue out, but that can present its own difficulties. So just to be aware of that. And then just the final thing I'd offer you, as we go back to our pews, the physical presence of Jesus remains within you for about 15 minutes. It is the ideal time to pray, especially for those people on your heart. And at the end of Mass, I know that you guys are so on fire for the mission, you're rushing out to go spread the gospel in downtown Fishers. But the Mass is something where we're called to intimacy. It's not something to get done on the way to something else. Do not rush out of the church. Brothers and sisters, when you profess your love for someone, you don't say it and then run away unless you're a teenager and really nervous about how they're going to respond. You take some time with it. Stay in your pew after Mass. Pray with your family or the people you came with and be of one mind and one heart. So, brothers and sisters, all of us should recommit ourselves to expressing through our bodies and a reciprocal approach and gift of love to the God who comes to us and is not afraid of us, is not ashamed of us, and has given us a place to be found when we feel lost.